This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk for a moment, just a moment, about China, Mao, the Cultural Revolution. This is going to come back to America, so just stay with me for a moment. Because a lot of people don't understand it. China's a foreign country. You know, you've hit a couple high points. Everybody knows Mao was a bad guy. But what's the timeline look like? So let's lay it out here. The nationalists under Chiang Kai-shek were fighting the communists. This is before World War II. They're fighting, trying to control communist China. The nationalists, because of a bunch of dirty tricks in World War II and other reasons we don't have to get into, the nationalists end up losing that. They retreat to Taiwan. If you're curious why China doesn't call it Taiwan, China considers it Chinese territory, it's because as soon as the nationalists took Taiwan, Mao wanted to go over there and take Taiwan so they could have it all, but they couldn't do it. Long story, either way, that's why Taiwan's still free and China's a dump. You with me? So Mao takes over China. And he does the things communists do. You know, starves 50 million people to death, tortures, kills people, all those standard things. But that's a problem, you see, because the death of 50 million people, and that's a guess. It could be 100, and it could be 30, who knows? The death of that many people cannot be kept quiet. Even with the strict censorship that went on in communist China, you know, we're not talking about the year 1600. Even then, it couldn't be kept quiet. But when you're dealing with the era of the radio, of telecommunication, telephones, it became a global world. We're talking the 50s, the 60s here. You can't keep that quiet. People have televisions. The word is going to get out. And the word gets out that Mao and his plans and policies have caused the greatest human disaster in the history of mankind. By far, by the way. By far. No one else came close to touching it. Mao just killed that many more of his own citizens than the next closest guy, whoever you want to pick for that. Okay? So, what happened? The communists inside China, the other powerful people in the Communist Party, they didn't like the bad pub. They needed someone to pin it on. And it made only sense to pin it on Mao because it was his policies, after all. Now, what happened? Mao went from being the top dog running China to the bench. He was still powerful, but he was no longer the top dog running China. People were criticizing him, but Mao wasn't the kind of guy who would take that quietly. He would take that lightly. So what did Mao need? Well, he's a communist, remember. He has nothing moral against violence and horrible things. They're demonic. It's the religion of Lucifer himself. These people just kill and torture like it's breathing. For Mao, you just kill your way out of it. Communists always, our communists today are no different, by the way. You can just kill your way out of a problem. If there's a group of people causing a problem, just kill them. The climate nutters will tell you this. The race communists will tell you this. These people are the problem. Shouldn't we just kill them? Wouldn't it be better if they died? Communists just believe in killing their way out of a problem. Mao wanted the death of all his political enemies. Not just politicians, but anybody who had raised a stink to his policies. Religious leaders, all these people. This included, I should note, teachers, history professors. Why? Well, China actually has an incredible history pre-communism, this amazing history of all these dynasties and technologies, and they were always such a modern place. And teachers were teaching about that. So Mao needed some killers. Now, what to do? I know when you think of killers, maybe on the darker side of it, you think of maybe someone as part of a cartel. Or on the lighter side, on the good guys' side of it, the military, right? We'll send a Delta Force in there. Doesn't Mao have a Chinese version of Delta Force? But you're thinking the wrong way, you see. There's a big difference between somebody who kills and somebody who murders. A huge difference. If you were, let's say, put in a room And there were two men standing in that room. One of them big, strong, and tough. He's got tattoos. Says the F word a lot. Drinks too much beer. And the other guy standing beside him is effeminate. His arms are about that big of a round. He was wearing a pink shirt with pink hair. You might make the mistake of thinking big tattoo guy is the one you should fear, but it is not. It's pink hair freak guy who is much more likely to pick up a gun and shoot you in the face. That's just a fact. Mao understood this. Mao understood human nature very well. If you want an army of murderers, an army of killers, you don't go find the biggest, strongest Chinese people you can find. You go to young people. Now, why? Is it because young people are evil? No, not at all. Young people are easily manipulated because their minds aren't fully developed yet. It's no insult, they're just not. Your mind is still developing. You're still learning right from wrong, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Young people much more likely to succumb to social contagions. Me? I don't care what my friends are doing. My friends all hung out on Saturday night. I didn't. Why? Because I didn't feel like it. Hey, come out. Nope, I'm good. Got a good book. Young people, on the other hand, they want to do what their friends are doing. Young people are the perfect recruit if you're trying to recruit murderers. And that's exactly what Mao did. He rallied the high school and college kids of China. Legions of them. Gave them a little red book. Remember, my little red book is still available at jessekelly.com, by the way. It's free. But he gave them a little red book with all these sayings in it. Little red book here, little red book there. And you can go look at pictures of all these kids. They're kids. They're babies. Little kids. Wave. Kids. Little red book. Rally behind me, kids. And once he had got them rallied behind him, he turned them loose as the army of murderous savages they were. What happened from here? Some of the most barbaric stuff you can possibly imagine. Some stuff I won't even say to you because there are children listening. Yeah, they would walk into a Buddhist temple and simply slaughter all the monks and then go tear up grave sites sometimes. Sometimes you'd be a school teacher. Happened a lot to school teachers. Maybe it's a Saturday. Knock at your door, you go open it up, and you're grabbed by 50 of your students armed with ball bats, some of them with nails in them, and they drag you out in front of your home in the middle of the street, and they beat you to death in front of everybody in town. Millions of people dead. Who did all that killing during the Cultural Revolution? Is it big, tough tattoo guy? It's kids. High school, college kids. Don't look at this video we're about to show you of anti-ICE protests going on in America. And what you cannot do here is you cannot make the mistake of dismissing them for their age. They don't have any money. Who cares? They're sophomores in high school. What are they going to do? What does it matter? You want to see the demographic that dragged teachers out of their homes and beat them to death with ball bats? Here they are.
The student-led protest outside of Aurora City Hall turned chaotic quick when a man pulled out a Trump flag and allegedly egged students on. Dozens of students chased the man. He was hit and kicked multiple times with rocks, water bottles, and shoes were thrown at him. After several minutes, volunteers, including an East Aurora High School dad who doesn't support Trump, helped the man escape into Fifth Third Bank.
He didn't listen to move away from him. He didn't listen. They went up to him.
Why? Are you threatening me?
No, I need to cry.
Why should I be scared if my family's gonna die? What'd you say?
I said what I said, bitch.
Don't be dismissive of it. They're just kids. They'll grow up one day. The communists in the United States of America have been recruiting and conditioning these kids for years with the intention of using them like an army. I've warned you time and time again, if you have a child in school, you need to go see the teacher and you need to see the classroom. Why is it important to see the classroom? Well, here's a teacher.
Hi, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a high school math teacher and I have a pride flag in my classroom. My job is to teach students math. But it's significantly more than just that. The pride flag is one of the many ways that I show my kids, regardless of who they are, that you are safe in my class. That no matter who you are, who you love, where you come from, you're welcome here. So yeah, I think that makes sense.
You'll understand that video better when you understand that's not a teacher, that's a recruiter. That's a, for lack of a better way to put it, that's a military recruiter. That teacher with the Black Lives Matter flag, the tranny flag, all the other stuff in your child's seventh grade class is not a teacher. It's a recruiter. And they have been recruiting, especially in blue areas, mostly in blue areas, they have been recruiting Cultural Revolution 2.0 soldiers for quite some time. Do not be dismissive of it because of their age. Do not convince yourself they'll grow out of it. If these people have their way, they will have Mao 2.0 here. Better be aware of it, and you better talk to your kid. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I can't stand the big mobile companies. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And it's not that I have a problem with the phones they sold me. Or the service, necessarily. It's not that. I'm so tired of giving my money to companies that hate me. And companies that use my money for these disgusting communist social causes. You remember all those Black Lives Matter protests? That was all corporate funding. They got corporate funding. Go look up your mobile company and see what they've done with your money. That money doesn't come from the clouds. They take your money. And they send it to these dirty commies. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Whenever you read about Pure Talk giving back, you find out, oh, wait, they helped a veteran back on his feet? Remember last Independence Day, they sent American-made flags to veterans. That's what Pure Talk does when they give back. That's the kind of company I like being part of. Switch. You save money. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. A couple years ago, I had to go in for a physical. You know how you have to go in for an annual physical? And it's just standard. It was nothing special. Just standard blood work, and they're going to test your body mass and the blood pressure and your vision and all these other things. And it was not good. It was not good. So let me explain. And by the way, this is going to come back to politics and where we're at as a country, Republicans and Democrats, so just stay with me. So prior to that physical, I had just been in a real lazy phase, eating terribly, just doing, treating my body like an absolute garbage disposal. Fast food again today? Sounds good. Like I was in that mode. Working out? Nah. I'd rather sit here on the couch. And I had been riding that mode out for a solid year. And I go in for that physical, and I remember getting the blood work results. And I remember my doctor being as nice as he possibly could, but basically telling me, my word, what have you been doing to yourself? And I'm looking at these results, and I remember what came over me. And this, I'm not proud of this, all right? But I remember what came over me. My first thoughts were, who can I blame? Isn't that awful? Who could I, well, I mean, I've been stressed out at this. Well, maybe if you would, this guy could have done this. And it didn't last long. It was 30 seconds, a minute. But I remember immediately, I'm looking at this and I'm horrified and I'm thinking, this can't be me. Someone else surely did this, but it was all me. All me. And isn't that, if we're being honest, one of the hardest conversations we ever have to have with ourselves in life? No matter what you're going through, your blood work, your politics, or anything else, isn't the hardest thing in the world to go look directly into a mirror and say, you're the problem? We love politics, you and I. That's why we're sitting here talking on the first. I don't know, even know that I'd say I love it or that you love it. We understand it's important, so we're passionate about it. That's probably a better way to put it. We're passionate about it. And because we are passionate about it, you watch things, you listen to things, you're browsing things on your phone, you're consuming the news of the day, And inevitably, when you do that, there will be these characters, almost like it's a movie. Characters on the good side, characters on the bad side. And whenever we have a character we dislike, oftentimes it's Democrats, now the communists. Whenever we have a character we dislike, we will crush that character. Crush them. But you know what? Let's go with that analogy, too. Let's say it's a TV show and there's somebody you despise on that TV show. Is it the actor or actress's fault? They didn't write any of those lines. They didn't produce it. They didn't direct it. Just a pretty face saying some words. AOC, for instance, this is a great example of what I'm about to talk about. AOC has been lampooned for days now. Why? Well, AOC, not a politician, an actress, and a dancer, was recruited by the Justice Democrats to supplant an establishment Democrat. They funded her primary run. She won, she got to Congress, but she didn't know anything. She doesn't know anything about politics. She's an actress. She really is. She's just a performer, if you will. She didn't know anything. She was there to promote communism and just say whatever she's told to say. And as a result, ever since AOC has been to Congress, she's routinely said stupid things. Things that make you and I laugh. We play her sound bites, we listen to them, we watch them, we laugh, we mock her. And that didn't change when she traveled overseas to Munich and sat down and said this.
Would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
You know, I think that this is such a, you know, I think that this is a, this is, of course, a very long-standing policy of the United States.
Rubio's speech was a pure appeal to Western culture. My favorite part was when he said that American cowboys came from Spain.
I thought they came from Winnetou, but
I believe the Mexicans and descendants of African enslaved peoples would like to have a word on that. You know, we look at what happened in Venezuela, for example. It is not a it is not a remark on who Maduro was as a leader. He canceled elections. He was an anti-democratic leader. That doesn't mean that we can kidnap a head of state and engage in acts of war just because the nation is below the equator.
I know it's painful to listen to, but let's talk. AOC is in what? She's in the House of what? Representatives. What are those people there to do? What are they? They are representatives. AOC is there to represent the people of her district. AOC was not selected. AOC was not appointed. The people of her district, they go and they vote her into office every single time by a landslide. It's not even close. Every single time. And this is where you may be tempted, because you're a political person, you know these things, you may be tempted to say, well, only a few people in her district even vote. Well, that's just making my point for me. So the people who do vote are communists and morons who vote for a moron, and the ones who choose to sit it out are lazy morons who don't care enough to get involved and replace the moron that represents not just her district, the United States of America on the world stage. Who's the dummy? Tell you what, pause on that for a minute. Let's go to Gretchen Whitmer, because she went over there to Munich as well, got asked some pretty basic questions. She got asked a question about Ukraine. Now, if you were asked this exact same question, you're not the governor of Michigan, neither am I. If you were asked this exact same question, you would have an answer. You would have a solid answer. We may even disagree on the answer. We may disagree about this part or that part, but you would have an answer because you know some things. You're not even a governor. Here's Gretchen Whitmer.
On Ukraine, what does victory look like?
No, please. I'd love to hear your answer.
The two that I am on the panel with are much more steeped in foreign policy than a governor is. But, I do think that Ukraine's independence, keeping their landmass and having the support of all the allies, I think is the goal from my vantage point. Go ahead, Ambassador. Do a better job.
What? She's so stupid. Remember how Gretchen Whitmer conducted herself during COVID? Here's a little refresher in case you don't remember.
Any concern that you've gone too far in any way with the stay-at-home restrictions?
No. I know that what we have done, the vast majority of people in Michigan agree with and have done the right thing.
She got reelected after that. Gretchen Whitmer, she blocked off the parts of the stores in Michigan that sold seeds, like gardening seeds. If you wanted to plant some lilies in the garden, you weren't allowed during COVID. And the people of Michigan, after being treated like lab rats, ran to the polls and reelected her. So we can play these videos of Gretchen Whitmer being a moron, and we can laugh, and we can say, ah, ha, ha, but Gretchen Whitmer is elected by the people of Michigan. We get the government we deserve. These actors and actresses on our screen, they don't write these lines. We do. You and me, we do. You see this tranny, McBride? This is a tranny. That's an insane person that thinks they can change their sex by chopping off parts of their body. It's by any measure, any other point in history, that person would be correctly identified as being insane. They would be institutionalized, isolated from society. They would be given professional help. In the United States of America, we elect them to the United States House of Representatives. They then travel overseas and talk about women's rights.
This is an effort to diminish the right of bodily autonomy. If they can undermine that right for trans people, they can undermine it for everyone. And I think we have to understand right now that gender equality is a barometer of democratic stability. And a strong man's greatest asset is scarcity. When there is scarcity in jobs, when there is scarcity of opportunity, they pick boogeymen, or in this case, boogie people, and they blame them. They blame the immigrant. They blame the trans person. But now increasingly what we're seeing is they're not just blaming the immigrant or the trans woman, they're blaming all women. They're saying, you, young man, can't get this job because this unqualified trans person or this unqualified woman has gotten this job.
Boogie people. Everything else aside, aren't you a little embarrassed? I am. I remember when I saw that, I think that was yesterday or the day before when I first saw that video. I did the wince thing. Because I know you didn't cast a vote for that tranny. I didn't cast a vote for that tranny, but to the rest of the world, we did. We elect these people. We can point fingers at all the morons and scumbags in the House of Representatives, the Senate, and governor's mansions across the United States of America. But the truth is, these people accurately reflect and represent us. Kansas is a state Donald Trump won by 16%. Kansas has a Democrat governor. Because Republicans in Kansas are too stupid and lazy to get off the couch and go vote in elections. If that sounds harsh, I really don't give a crap. I'm offended. I don't care. It's time to look in the mirror. This is embarrassing. What we have become, what we elect, is a reflection of us. And this is not necessarily an indictment of you personally, of course. But that's not how representative republics work. That's not how constitutional republics work. Majorities of people do elect these people. And Lord knows we need to do better. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I want you to feel full of energy, in a good mood. But what does that mean, in a good mood? Well, let me ask you something, especially for the guys. Do you feel down inexplicably? You're driving home, you're sitting around, you're at work, you just kind of feel melancholy and down. You understand that we're losing 1% of our testosterone a year, and it's not our fault. The estrogen's in the friggin' waters. We shower in it. We're drowning in estrogen. It's dropping our T levels. And now guys are getting depressed. Guys are getting down. Guys are losing energy. Guys are losing focus. Remember, testosterone is about your mind more than anything else. Did you know you need it for logical thinking? And did you know you don't need a needle in your arm to get things turned around? Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will get things turned around for you. It's easy. Chalk.com/JesseTV. I take a male vitality stack every day. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Go get a subscription. See what I mean. So we're going to talk about New York City for a moment. And I want you to understand this is not specifically about New York City at all, although it's a place I dearly love to visit. My wife and I like to go up there and get a sidewalk hot dog and then feel bad about ourselves, but that's another story entirely. This is about communists, who they are, who they recruit, why they do what they do, and really the reason they're always trying to make it a global thing. Communism was never meant to be for New York City or New York State or the United States of America or Russia. Communism has to be everywhere. Now, let's first discuss how did we get this evil regime in the most important city in the world? Well, you know this. We discuss this all the time. FFC. FFC is the only reason there is a Democrat Party. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, there's no Democrat Party. It does not exist in any significant form. It's probably a 20% party. If you look at how the issues pull, it's probably a 20% party, which is so small, they would actually close the doors of the DNC. They would have to completely remake it, rebrand it. It would disappear entirely. But instead, it's half the country, isn't it? It's half the country, probably going to take back the House. How's that possible? Well, you need fraud. You need to steal from the taxpayer, loot the taxpayer, and hand it out to allies, bribe people for votes. You need foreigners. How could a guy like Mamdani get elected in New York City when all the polling showed that American New Yorkers rejected him? Well, these people didn't.
This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon, of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah.
Why would Joe Biden import 20 million foreigners in just 4 years? We've never seen an immigration spike like that. Well, because you can't lose an election if you do that. These people don't care about the Constitution, freedom. They certainly don't care about our lame arguments like, that won't work. That they're here. Who do you think they're going to vote for? Who do you think Mamdani courted to win his election?
We have the power to set ourselves free. And I consider my own faith, Islam, a religion built upon a narrative of migration. The story of the Hijra reminds us that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was a stranger too, who fled Mecca and was welcomed in Medina. Surah An-Nahl 16:42 tells us, as for those who immigrated in the cause of Allah after being persecuted, we will surely bless them with a good home in this world. Or as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Islam began as something strange and will go back to being strange. So glad tidings to the strangers. If faith...
And it should be noted, Mamdani's only been in there a little more than a month, and he rewarded those foreigners for putting him in office. New York City. That's how they do it. That's why every single Democrat in the United States of America, from the Senate to the House of Representatives, all the way down to your city council, will tell you right to your face that immigrants built America and that deporting anyone, anyone at all, is tantamount to Nazism. Why are they doing this? Because with the mass importation of foreign barbarians, they cannot possibly lose. And with the deportation of foreign barbarians, they cannot possibly win. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, the Democrat Party ceases to exist. And now that they're there, who's staffing this communist regime in New York City? Well, it's all the dregs of society. It's one of those things you almost marvel at it when you read history, the history of Cambodia, the Soviet Union, China, East Germany, communist regime after communist regime. They pluck the biggest scumbags, murderous pieces of trash in society, and they place them in high positions of power. They give them government power to carry out their campaign of revenge. Here's Mamdani's housing director.
Democratically controlled public housing is really important. And that's why when Raquel is talking about the communities and that she's describing, that, you know, that's a created community where the people who are living there are like setting the agenda. And so, you know, people like home ownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like, we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply. It's about, to me, it's about control. And why rent control is really important is because rent control alters the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building. And
of course, they use words like equality and things like that, but what is that really? Well, they see the poll numbers, they know how white people voted, they know how everyone else voted. They intend to reward the people who voted for them and punish the people who voted against them. And there's another thing that people can't wrap their minds around with the Democrat Party, their love of criminals. Open jails? Constantly giving lighter sentences to the biggest barbarians, letting them out of jail to kill, rape, do all kinds of horrible things again. The new mayor of New York City, we saw this on video, by the way, a cop's body camera showed us this man charging the police officer, knife in hand. Here's the mayor of New York City afterwards.
I will say, however, that no family should have to endure this kind of pain. What they need right now is care, dignity, and support. Chavez should not be prosecuted by the Queens District Attorney. His handcuffs should be removed.
Why? The bottom barrel dirt balls, they choose Democrats. They're always going to side with Democrats. Their friends, their family members will side with Democrats. Democrats inherently know the normal, well-put-together family person, family man, family woman, a person with a normal life, a job, hobbies. That person is inherently not going to vote Democrat most of the time. But if you plumb the depths of society and pull the bottom 5-10% out of it, they'll choose Democrat every single time. They'll choose communism every single time. This is no different than what the Soviets did. One of their first acts was walking down to the prison with the keys in hand and letting the rapists free, letting the murderers free, and then installing judges to ensure these people would not be held to account when they inevitably, of course, committed more crimes. I know it's hard to accept and it sounds partisan, but I am partisan. I'm also telling you the truth. The Democrat Party is a source of insane evil now. It is an evil, demonic party. And that brings me to the control part. Why? Why was the rallying cry from the very beginning, workers of the world unite? I mean, Marx, he wrote that in Germany, and then the communist revolution took place in Russia, and it was all these different countries. Why wasn't it just about Russia or just about China? Why was it workers of the world unite? Well, Mamdani said something yesterday, the day before, about property tax. Well, here he was.
What would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
Raid. Now, here's something the communist understands. Here's why it has to be for the entire world. The communist has always understood that people will reject communism and they will do whatever they can to escape communism. Did you know after the Russian Revolution, they famously gathered and screamed about seizing the passports? It was in Russian, of course, but seizing the passports, seize the passports. Why? They knew people would try to get out. Mamdani and the communists around him understand that people will try to get out of New York City. So then they're going to lobby for New York State. Grab these people. Keep these people. Then they'll lobby for the country itself. No. Come back. We'll tax you anyway. Mamdani said this on camera. But then what if they actually conquer the United States of America? God forbid. They know that if we have the means to do so, we will get out, we will escape because we don't want to live under this kind of evil. So you see, you have to have it so people cannot possibly escape it. It is evil, it is destructive, and it is hell-bent on taking over everything. Never, ever, ever forget what you're up against. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. What happens to you when you take something to sleep? I know what it's like to not sleep, but when you take something to sleep, the doctor gave you something or took something from the pharmacy, what happens? When you wake up, you feel awful, don't you? Do you feel refreshed? No, you're just in this heavy, groggy, miserable state. Your eyes are all cross-eyed. It's horrible. That's because you're taking something that's not natural. Dream powder from Beam is natural. It's not only delicious, it's a cup of hot chocolate, but it's natural. Mine is the cinnamon chocolate, that's my personal favorite. You drink it before bed. It has all those things you see right there in it, magnesium and reishi and melatonin, things like that. And you just drift off to sleep and you wake up not groggy, not cross-eyed, ready to take on the day, refreshed. You take it every night. shopbeam.com/JesseKelly is how you save some money. Go, sleep well. All right, so I don't do very many of these things, all right? When I say these things, it's going to be talking about how impressed I am with the politician. There are impressive politicians, I admit that. I generally think most of them are scum. And as I've always told you, use them. Use them to get what you want, get where you're going, and then discard them. And I'm not saying anything different about Marco Rubio, who we're about to highlight. But I do think we have to acknowledge that there are some who are statesmen, and there are some who really improve over time. I remember when Marco Rubio first came up in politics, came up through the Florida State Legislature, ended up getting elected Senate in Florida, and he was this kind of new, you know, the young, good-looking conservative guy, and everyone thought he was going to be a star. And then he gets to Washington, D.C., and about 5 minutes afterwards, he gets seduced by the thought of amnesty, as so many of them do, comes out, tries to pass some big amnesty bill. Well, what that did was destroyed his reputation, at least on the right. He was still senator and all that, but everyone kind of laughed him off now. Rubio's the amnesty guy. And I've been very hard on Rubio over the years. And to keep in mind, I don't know him. We don't text. I've never met Rubio. At least I don't think I've ever met Rubio in my life. But it's hard not to look at the things he says, the actions he takes now, and say to yourself, man, someone helped him, or he's just growing up. But I love... One of the things I love most about when we get a patriotic president, a patriotic administration, is they take that overseas. Whenever you have a Democrat administration and they go overseas, they're going to crap all over America and American values. Marco Rubio has been an excellent statesman for this country. Here he was in Munich.
We want allies who can defend themselves so that no adversary will ever be tempted to test our collective strength. This is why we do not want our allies to be shackled by guilt and shame. We want allies who are proud of their culture and of their heritage, who understand that we are heirs to the same great and noble civilization, and who together with us are willing and able to defend it. Armies fight for a people. Armies fight for a nation. Armies fight for a way of life. And that is what we are defending, a great civilization that has every reason to be proud of its history.
I've said this repeatedly. I don't know why it's so hard for some to comprehend it, so let me repeat it again. A visa, no one's entitled to a visa. There is no constitutional right to a visa. Okay, a visa is a permission to enter our country as a visitor. If you enter our country as a visitor, and as a visitor in our country, be it a student, a tourist, a journalist, whatever you want to be, and you undertake activities that are against the national interest, the national security of the United States, we will take away your visa. In fact, if we knew you were going to do it, we probably wouldn't have given you your visa.
That's awesome. That's how I want American statesmen talking about America overseas. No more of this America sucks crap. No more of this, we're just global citizen thing. No. We are great. We are a great civilization. We don't apologize for it. And don't you dare think you're going to visit and crap on this place or we will kick you out. That's awesome. And I'll tell you, I still remember how he spoke at Charlie Kirk's funeral, Charlie Kirk's memorial. Now, this is something that's become more and more common now, and I love it, but how many times prior to this have you heard American politicians speak so boldly about this?
One of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return. And he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
That's awesome. Again, I want to emphasize, I'm not a fan. I will never be a fan, but it's hard not to be impressed with someone who's turning into a wonderful statesman for this country, statesman for Christ, and it's hard not to see, I mean, I know he's been there for a while, so we're talking about Marco Rubio like he's brand new. It's hard, though, not to see a bright political future for Marco Rubio. It's been wonderful to watch. All right. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And the reason we have a lighten the mood is we cannot forget to laugh. And it's really important that you laugh and mock these ridiculous demonic communists because, one, it makes your day better. It just brings some levity to your day. And two, they are so mock-worthy. They're so deranged. They're just crazy people. I'm going to play you a video. And before I play you this video, I want you to understand that this lady is not just some kook on the street corner. This lady is the lieutenant governor of the state of Minnesota. These people have gone from just being kooks on the street corner to rising to high office in this country, and all we can do is just laugh.
So my Ojibwe name is Gijiwewedomokwe, which means speaks in a loud and clear voice, woman. I am so grateful for my community. And, you know, I am a member of the White Earth Nation, which is the largest tribe in Minnesota.
I'll see you tomorrow.